Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our second day of our education class, where we're talking about making computer science more attractive to women. And to discuss this topic with me in our studio, I have...
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn.
And what stood out to you about yesterday's article?
Well, one thing we discussed were the adverse stereotypes that women are, or Harvey Mudd is trying to battle in the computer science field against women, where there's this idea that women aren't good at math, women aren't good at computer science, and they should not be in that field. And we talked a little bit about stereotypes and how, regardless of whether it's a negative stereotype or a positive stereotype, it still has negative effects on the group as a whole.
Okay, great. And what about you, my other guest in the studio?
Hi, everyone. It's Albert. I want to give a high five to Harvey Mudd, the school, for making programming a mandatory class for incoming students. I feel like, you know, programming or computer science is becoming really relevant. When you go to college, you have these courses that you have to take, and, you know, they have, like, art, history, and math, and, like, basic math and stuff like that, and now programming. So this way, I feel like, you know, going forward, you can work or break it down of, like, oh, if my computer is broken or if my phone or something's wrong, I can, you know, I have the basic foundation to figure out what is wrong with it.
Okay. And yesterday, as we were at the end of the program, we ran out of time, and you had something you wanted to share. Why don't you do that now?
Oh, yes. So yesterday I wanted to touch upon how why diversity matters.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I always thought about how, like, oh, you know, only people who are qualified matters. It doesn't matter, you know, if we have diversity or not. And I had a teacher ask this question to the class. It was like, oh, where do you guys keep your ketchup, Linda?
In the fridge.
Caroline.
In the fridge.
Right. So he was saying, like, if you have a group of researchers or programmers and they're all the same, men or women, they would just, if they're looking for a solution or, like, where to find ketchup, they would just open the fridge. But some people keep their ketchup in the pantry.
They
don't
really?
Yeah, they don't keep it
like
chilled.
Like you?
Yes. I don't like it when it's, like, super cold. So if you have another group of people, if you have diversity in a group, right, you'll be able to come up with amazing and awesome answers or solutions. So, you know, if we have more diversity in programming or computer science or in Silicon Valley, you know, we'll have, you know, even more awesome, like, apps or whatnot and gadgets. So we're holding ourselves back by having less diversity.
Good point. But I do want to point out that I live from the upper Midwest in the United States, and I keep my ketchup on a shelf there.
Oh.
Because the climate is not hot and humid.
Yeah. Climate plays a big role in where you place your ketchup.
That is not the point of the analogy.
That's true.
I should clear that up for everybody.
Okay. So if you ever travel to Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Please keep your ketchup outside of the fridge.
You don't have to, but it's perfectly fine there.
Okay.
Well, we're on page 37, and we're going to start our reading at the top of the page in the left-hand column. So if you have your magazines, you might want to turn to that page, and you can follow along with us.
Harvey Mudd's computer science faculty members first began to rethink the way they were teaching the subject in 2005. The program was producing successful graduates, but just as the field was rebounding from the dot-com bust, only a couple of women each semester were signing up for an advanced course in computer science. Change needed to begin at the beginning, professors realized. The traditional introductory class was so dry that they drew straws to see who would teach it. Professors identified three key reasons female students did not major in computer science. They didn't think they would be good at it, they couldn't imagine fitting into the culture, and they just didn't think it was interesting. In the revamped curriculum, instead of having computer science students write arcane code, professors started giving them fun group puzzles and 3D graphics to create their own games. After freshman year, students were offered research opportunities, They used algorithms to solve questions and analyze DNA sequences.
So we see that back in 2005, the faculty in computer science started to think, or it says here they began to rethink. So they started to think that maybe what they weren't doing was not quite so appealing to women.
Right. When you rethink something, then you take something that you've been doing for maybe a while, maybe a really long time, and you look at it a different way. You try to think of other ways that it could be done.
Right. And it's not because it wasn't successful, because actually this program did have a lot of successful graduates. But what was the problem with it, Albert?
Well, it was only a couple of women each semester were signing up for an advanced course in computer science. And this was a shame because, you know, the dot-com bubble was rebounding.
Okay, so let's talk about that. There are a couple of terms here mm-hmm. we need to take a look at. The dot-com bust, that's kind of an interesting and a very limited field that we use this in.
Yeah, so the dot-com bust refers specifically to a couple of years, so 2000 to 2002, and that's when a lot of internet-based companies went bankrupt or they lost a lot of value in their stock. And I guess that really did have a lot of effect on the economy and also on whether or not people wanted to go into the computer science field.
Right. And that happened, and then this field began to rebound, which means what, Albert?
Well, rebound is to recover in mm-hmm. terms of after an economic fall. We also use this word in basketball, to recover a ball. But yeah, so for many years before the dot-com bust, you know, there was a huge growth. Internet companies were taking off, and this is also where we get the name .com, because at the end of a web address, we have .com. Yeah.
Right, so mm-hmm. the .com bust, when something, you know, bust just means to be broken.
Mm.
So when this field was broken, this happened. And I think it's kind of interesting. You know, they just realized that only a few women are actually only a couple, which means two or maybe three or four, each semester were signing up for an advanced course in computer science. So if computer science was mandatory before 2005, people took that and that was it, especially women took that and that was it. Mm-hmm. Then they changed courses. So they realized that they had to start at the beginning. And the traditional introductory class was so dry that they drew straws to see who would teach it. So what if something is dry, what is it?
Well,
without
like,
water, we know, but
like you mentioned yesterday, it's something like it's not fun. Like if a food is dry, I don't want to eat it. But here, it's something that's really boring. It's something that's just mundane to walk or trudge through.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not fun, not interesting at all. And you probably feel like you're getting dumber while you sit there.
Okay, or you're totally lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's not even an exaggeration. The professors actually drew straws to see who would have to teach this material, regardless of the audience, whether it be men or women.
Yeah, that really is interesting.
No one wanted this class.
Right. No one. And the professors have three key reasons, okay, why they feel that female students didn't want to major in computer science. Probably the dry classes were one of them. But what are they?
Well, first of all, they didn't think that they would be good at it. So this is what the professors think women believe. Women think that they won't be good at computer science. And they maybe couldn't imagine fitting into the culture because it is a male-dominated industry and it has its own culture and maybe women wouldn't feel comfortable or feel like they could fit into that. And then third, they just didn't think computer science was interesting.
Yeah, I would fit in there.
Well, I think it's interesting, but I think the other two apply to me. I don't know if I'd be good at it. I don't know that I'd fit into the culture, but it's kind of interesting.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting that some of the other research showed that the female students tended to think more about the careers in terms of social relevance. Okay? When we're thinking about computer science, we don't really think about it socially or social relevance. And they also think about how they can help the world. Whereas many male students in this area that were pursuing computer science were more passionate about personal projects and their own ideas and building those kind of things. So that's quite different in your perspective on what you want to do in a field. And that could have a lot to do with why people choose the fields that they choose.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a major contributing factor.
Well, we see that there is a sidebar here still dominated by men, and we're going to be talking about the revamping of the curriculum. And we talked about this yesterday, but this little sidebar talks about when they started changing the curriculum here. It's still dominated by men. Very cute little picture here of men and women. And we're seeing what who led this change and really what's happening here. But we also see that in our article that instead of having computer science students write arcane code, they started giving them what to do, Albert.
Well, they gave them fun group puzzles and 3D graphics to create their own games. So they were able to show them, like, hey, this is what you can do if you were able to master this field, you know, not just sit there and trudge through writing zeros and ones or what we call code, but, you know, you will actually be able to use this and, you know, like, problem solve or create solutions.
And we see this word up here. It says having computer science students write arcane code. So if something is arcane, you don't see this word very often at all. But if you do see it, you know that it's something that's like only known to a few people. I mean, really, computer science code is only known to a few people.
People that study computer science.
Right. So something is arcane, it means that it's mysterious. And only a few people know about it. But I also thought that it was very interesting. I was reading a little bit more about this, what they actually did. So really, to help female students feel like they belonged, the professors found ways to kind of get rid of this macho, or what we use for this male-dominated effect, so that female students would feel like they fit in. Number one, male students usually answered all the questions. So they took them aside and said, you know, because they knew, they were familiar with this field, so they were taken aside and asked privately to let others speak before they just jumped up and answered everything. And they urged students to save these advanced conversations for outside of the classroom with their teachers, so that the female students that are just entering, remember that everybody has to take this. If it's their first time in there, you would never say anything. I was in a class like this once. I didn't even know what to ask, and people were talking about something very advanced. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to, as we say, level the playing field a little bit in a kind of a, I don't know if it's a sneaky way, but not make the female students feel so intimidated by their male classmates.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty interesting. You had this perplexed look on your face, Albert.
No, this is just a lot to digest. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like, things that are working on so many different levels. I mean, like, I don't feel like the women are any less than the men. It's just like, you know, again, we talked about this yesterday, about how, like, men are just geared towards this field, and so they would be more prepared going into this class.
Well, then, I think probably they have more of a background before they even get in there.
Right. But, like, right off the bat, like, my knee-jerk reaction is, like, oh, this is unfair. It shouldn't just be, like, oh, the people who can answer it should just answer it anyways. But, of course, it's not as it seems.
Right. Well, another thing that they did, which I thought was very interesting, is that they divided the introductory course into sections based on prior experience. So that if you knew nothing, you were learning with other people that knew nothing, as opposed to people who had some kind of background, they were in a separate section.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to break it up, because you don't want to hinder people who already have knowledge and background in it from advancing further, right? You don't want to hold them back just because other people in the class are new to it. So having this two separate classes, one more advanced course, one more beginner course, seems to be pretty fair.
Yeah, I actually can totally relate because at Studio Classroom, the English staff, we're taking a Chinese class and I'm put in the advanced group, but I'm totally out of my depth. And I know like Gabe and Carolyn, they're my classmates. They're not there to make me feel dumb, but I just feel like, you know, I should be put in the beginner's class and this way I'll feel more comfortable speaking Chinese.
Okay, yeah. So I think that there's some merit to this. I think these professors were very, very creative and very insightful in making some kind of changes. But this is just on the human level, and we look at the curriculum, you know, and level also. They revamped the curriculum too. So instead of having, you know, we've said this before, writing this code, they started giving them group puzzles, 3D graphics. And then after freshman year, the students were offered research opportunities, which was kind of cool. And they used algorithms to solve questions and analyze DNA sequences. And if you use an algorithm, this is a very common term you use in computer science and in math and sciences.
Yeah, usually I think of math when I hear the word algorithm. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem-solving rules that you follow in a certain order. It's a procedure of solving a problem. So you might need an algorithm to solve a particular complicated math problem or an algorithm that a computer runs on. It runs on an algorithm.
Right. So it's just a fixed order of rules that you have to follow to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a word we use very often, but, you know, when you see it, you'll know what it means, hopefully. Well, we are going to continue our reading now. We are toward the bottom of the page on page 37 in the left-hand column, and we're going to read to the end of the article.
The school's biggest cheerleader. Showcasing women in the field has made a difference, too. Today, more than 40% of the school's computer science faculty is female. Students also are offered a paid trip to the annual Grace Hopper Celebration of Women in Computing, billed as the largest professional gathering of women in technology. It helps that Maria Clave, Harvey Mudd's president, is a computer scientist herself. Her influence in making the field more attractive to women has been recognized by the White House. Building confidence and a sense of belonging and a sense of community among these women makes such a huge difference, Clave said. Once you change the myths and the cultural beliefs about computer science, that has a lot of momentum. The introductory course is now one of the most popular across the campus. Within 4 years, the percentage of women majoring in computer science more than tripled.
So we see that we're going to now be talking about the school's biggest cheerleader, okay? So this is the person that encourages women, or actually the entire school, and it just happens to be the president of the school, who is a woman and also a computer scientist herself. So kind of an interesting combination. And when we say that we showcase something, what are we talking about here?
Well, if we showcase something, that means that we want to show off the best qualities of something, the best part of something. And we want to show that it's really good. You put it in a showcase so that everyone can see it.
Right. So here we have a verb and a noun, a showcase. You've probably seen like glass cases where you put all your trophies. And then, as you said, the verb is to show these off. So what is Harvey Mudd showcasing, Albert?
Well, today, more than 40% of the school's computer science faculty is female.
Okay. And so she said that showcasing these women, the students and the faculty, has made a big difference at Harvey Mudd.
Yeah, I think a lot of our perceptions, maybe the stereotypes, right, are based on things that we see. So when we see more women in computer science, we see female professors in the field, then we think, oh, men and women are in this field. Whereas if we don't see women in the field, then it will be less likely for us to think, oh, it's open to both.
Right. It's always, you know, it's better to have role models that you can relate with. And if you see your professors who are naturally role models for students, they're like, oh, they're also female.
Mm-hmm.
We also see here that they're offered a paid trip to the annual Grace Hopper Celebration of Women in Computing. Okay, that is a mouthful. Billed as the largest professional gathering of women in technology.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting conference. It's huge. They're expecting 18,000 people to attend the conference this year. It's in October, actually, the first week of October in Orlando, Florida. And it is going to be a really big event.
Can we go?
Well, you can, but it's a little pricey.
Ooh, how pricey?
quite. You can find the registration information online, but students is over $400, and if you are not associated with a school, it's over $1,000 to register.
Well, notice that Harvey Mudd actually pays for their students to go to this, which is pretty, well, actually their tuition is quite high, so they can. And it says that it is billed as the largest professional gathering of women in technology. And usually we see this word billed having to do with money, but here it has to do with advertisement. And what is it advertising?
Well, and to advertise the largest professional gathering of women in technology.
Okay, so you have something particular in mind when you use this word, okay? And here, of course, it's about women in technology. I think that this would be very, very encouraging to women that are thinking about this field, because there must be women across the board from all walks of life, especially in the fields of science, that are here presenting and having demonstrations and booths and all kinds of things. So we see that the president of Harvey Mudd is a woman, and she's a computer scientist.
Yes, Maria Clave, and she actually became president in 2006, so I wonder if her appointment was sort of inspired by this push to have computer science put more of at the forefront and having women emphasized in this field.
Right. It says it here that she is making the field more attractive to women and has been recognized by the White House. And actually, that it's the White House's chief technology officer that that she's been recognized by. And she also is not shy about calling out executives that are in this male-dominated field that are not encouraging women in the tech field. So she's, you know, saying, when you call out somebody, what do you do? It's kind of challenging. You're kind of challenging them and asking them, why aren't you doing this? And pointing out that, you know, this company is not encouraging women, is not hiring women, and why not? So she feels strongly, you know, and she says building confidence and a sense of belonging and a sense of community among these women makes a huge difference. What do you think? I think that's true in any field.
Yeah, I think regardless of what the field happens to be, that is very true. You want to have confidence and belonging and a sense of community among everyone in the group, not just women here, since women have been kind of pushed out of the field for a while. They're trying to build that up, but having it among all people within the group.
Right. And if you have the sense of belonging, you know, it says you can change the myths and cultural beliefs about computer science, and that has a lot of momentum. So what does this sentence actually mean, Albert?
Well, it's kind of like what I like to feel like the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're able to highlight things that are true, and, you know, it would change people's perspective of this field, computer science, and it would gain a lot of momentum.
Right. So if you're gaining momentum, it means that you are, you know, have energy to go forward. It's kind of like driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it will be unstoppable. And now we see that the introductory course is one of the most popular across the campus. So that means of all the courses that are offered at Harvey Mudd, that is it's one of the most popular courses taken. It does help that it's mandatory as well. But
I think if it's popular, that means the students also enjoy it.
Right. Well, right. You know, if you've changed from making it very dry to doing lots of graphics and creating games and learning really actually how to use the programming, then it sounds, actually it even sounds a little appealing to me, which is like impossible. Okay, and then she says within, well, the article says within 4 years, the percentage of women majoring in computer science has more than tripled. That's huge, because that's 4 years.
Yes, which means just one graduating class, right? Within the time that one graduating class completed their degrees, the number, the percentage of women majoring in computer science tripled at Harvey Mudd. So that's really, really encouraging that, yes, women are interested in this field. They are good at it once they realize that they can do it.
I think as educators across the board can learn, even if it's not computer science, can learn a lot from this article. Our approach to education and to different fields of education, what people are studying, you know, if we're, there are a lot of open fields where we need people, and we need to think about how we're presenting them and how we're teaching them and how they're being used. Well, we're so thankful that you joined us for our education article this month, and we hope you'll come back again tomorrow for another lesson in Advanced Studio Classroom. But our time is up for now, so we have to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.